join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with, I will not retreat.
The Hebrews, the 10th chapter, again, starting at verse 35, theologians debate whether Paul wrote the book of Hebrews or whether it was Apollos. Some people said there are some peculiarities about the book of Hebrews that's different than all the other 13 epistles that we know Paul wrote. So the writer, we would say, of Hebrews, starting in chapter 10, verse 35, writes, cast not therefore away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet, a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, or for now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back from what? From faith. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, that's not us, the writer says. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Those verses, verse 38 and verse 39 from the New Living Translation, to make it a little plain, it says, and my righteous ones, we'll live by faith. We'll live by faith. Not, it's an option. We will do it. Somebody say, we're going to do it. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Turns away from what? From living by faith. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. And this is part two for this service anyway, of this series that I started last week entitled, I Will Not Retreat. Catch somebody's attention next to you or down the aisle from me and tell them, I will not retreat. I will not retreat. Retreat from what? Retreat from faith. That's what is spoken of here when it says drawing back, or as the New Living Translation says, turning away. And sometimes people, when just like you've been, you was in love with your boo, you're in love with your bae, you put yourself all out there like that, you gave them your heart. In some cases, people gave them their bodies. Sometimes people gave them their money, and they were taken advantage of, they were hurt, they were used, they were abused. And then they say, I'm never again going to love. I'm never again going to put myself out there like that. And unfortunately, that's what happens to some believers. We go through faith disappointments, faith disillusionment, and we say, I'm not going to, we don't say with our mouths like this, but we really kind of made up our mind, I'm not going to trust God like that anymore. I'm not going to stand on that script anymore. I'm not going to give that kind of seed anymore. Did I ever tell y'all about the time If I mentioned the preacher, he was always on television, usually on telephones. I was at one of his meetings in Charlotte several years ago. We moved here in 2004, so it was when we were still on St. Andrews Road. So it must have been the early 2000s. So it's probably 18, maybe 20 years ago in Charlotte. He was having a meeting there. Awesome man of God, great books. And if you don't want to give, then don't come to church with your any money, with a checkbook, with a debit card, and leave your memory home too. I just can't remember what my account numbers are. Because he pumped your faith up, you want to give it. And it was in this service, and he challenged us to sow a seed of a 1 month mortgage. 1 month mortgage. Believe in God. But by the end of this year, your mortgage is going to be paid off. Ikabasata. Y'all know me, boy. I stepped out there, yes, sir. Because I want this $300-something thousand mortgage, which was time, to be paid off. Well, I wrote my check for the 1 month mortgage. And month one came. Month two came. I'll be the last. This year, December 31st. Oh, Jesus. You got to come through, God. I sold my seed for this mortgage. But it wasn't paid off that year. It got paid off. It got paid off several years later when I paid that house off, when I sold that house. Now, I could have said, you know what? This sowing stuff don't work. I'm a pastor. Yeah, I was a pastor. I'm not sowing a seed anymore. No, but some things I had to learn. Because I can tell you something, you need to bear witness with your spirit. Amen. And which is why often, you know, I can wait till the direction conference and then tell them to play real giving kind of, come help me out here. Some real giving, moving music. Come on, help me. Come on, work with me. Tonight, I just believe with you. When you sow $1,000 tonight, something's going to break in your life. Oh my God, my God. When you sow $1,000 tonight, it's over. I can get them, you know, I can try to work you all up more. And some of you might get emotional and give. But you can't just give out of emotion. You got to give out of faith. You got to give because it bears witness with your spirit. This is what the Lord is telling you to do. Every time God offers a challenge for offering to be given, doesn't mean that it's your, that's your challenge. Okay? Jesus, I'm going to help you out here. Follow me now. Jesus told the rich young ruler, and some people take this and think it's for everybody. He said, go sell what you have, everything you have, and give to the poor. Jesus didn't tell everybody he meant that. He told the rich young ruler that because the rich young ruler's problem was that he had many riches, but the real problem was the riches had him. And to really, if he meant business with Jesus in his situation, he said, okay, have faith enough to follow me and take everything you have, liquidate it, and give it to the poor, which really means sow into my ministry because Jesus had a ministry to the poor. Now, he didn't tell everybody that. Some people think everybody's supposed to be poor because Jesus told the rich young ruler. And then if you keep following the story out, Jesus said, now it's so hard for those who trust in riches. So hard for them to enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus' problem with the rich young ruler wasn't that he had riches. The problem with the rich young ruler is that he trusted in his riches. Are y'all with me? And so you got to know what God says to you. And so sometimes we have disappointments for whatever reason through our giving. We have disappointment through our living. We have disappointment through some act of obedience that we know that God told us to do, and yet it seemed like what was supposed to break didn't break the way we thought it was going to break, or we thought was going to manifest didn't manifest in the time that we thought it should be manifest. And so you say, I'm not putting myself out like that. And what you're really saying is, I'm turning away from faith. I'm retreating from this lifestyle of believing that God is bigger than my problems. I'm retreating from this lifestyle of acting on the word of God, even though God says, if I do this, he'll do that. But the Bible says that's not supposed to be us. We are not of them that draw back. He said, and you draw back, you draw to perdition, which means self-destruction. Can I tell you this? I know you got to understand this and come to a place of believing this. You cannot take care of yourself better than God can take care of you. You cannot provide for yourself better than God can provide for you. Let me go deeper. A job can't provide for you better than God can provide for you. Now, I'm not telling you to quit your job. What I am telling you is that you need to be living by faith on the job. Sometimes people have said things like, well, I'm just going to quit my job and live by faith. That ain't how you do this thing. If you don't live by faith on your job, don't try to live by faith without your job. In other words, even this job, I thank God. God gave it to me. Amen. Because when the job dries up, Wells Fargo, the second or largest employer in Charlotte, has said in the next couple of months, they're laying off something like 25,000 employees. That's going to greatly affect the Charlotte area, okay? And there are people who went to work for Wells Fargo thinking, I'm going to retire from Wells Fargo. I'm going to get a watch, a ring, or whatever they give you. You better be, you need to be watching your back. Sitting around waiting for this job. My point is, thank God for jobs, but our hope and our trust got to be in God, who gave us the job. He's the source and everything else is a resource. And sometimes people have been disappointed. We back up, we treat. And God does not want us to retreat. He wants us to confront. So he tells them in James 4:7-8, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. He doesn't want us running from the devil. He wants the devil running from us. We just sing a song in the old Pentecostal church. I got the devil running. And I'm so glad the world can't do me no harm. 1 Peter 5:8-9. He said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, go throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to destroy you. But notice he said he can't destroy everyone. He's seeking someone he can devour. He said, but I want you to understand this. Verse 9 of 1 Peter 5 blesses me. He said, what you need to do with that devil is resist him. Don't succumb to him. Don't run from him. Resist him. Somebody say resist. There is a resistance. But now I want you to understand that the writer here of 1 Peter, which is Peter, he says you're not alone when you resist the devil. Look at this, 1 Peter 5:9, who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said there are other Christians throughout the world who are also part of the resistance. Who are resisting the devil, who's pushing back the darkness, who's saying no to the devil, who's saying yes to God's word, who's saying I will not be moved like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who is saying on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There are people, you're not the only one, who are resisting the devil. And he said he will not be able to prevail against the church that is part of the resistance. So we don't draw back. To draw back, to turn back, to retreat. And then we showed you last week that when we draw back from faith, we have this tragedy in our life that Paul refers to as shipwreck. 1 Timothy 1:19. He said we have to hold faith and a good conscience, which some having put away what? Put away faith. Cast away their confidence, given up on God, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Shipwreck is, man, I was doing good. Shipwreck, I was on my way to a wealthy place. Shipwreck is, man, things were turning around in my life, and then we come against some opposition, and we succumb, and we retreat. Shipwreck is, I was headed right and ended up going wrong. Shipwreck is, I was on my way to fulfilling destiny, but I lost faith and I drowned at sea. Shipwreck means that God had a plan for you. You were on a path for you. You were following that plan. You were on that path, but you never reach your destination. Shipwreck means you don't maximize your potential. Shipwreck means that you had 2 talents that could have become 4 talents, but you buried the talent because of fear. And the Bible says, if you cast away concerning faith, you'll make shipwreck. You'll never reach your destiny. never reach your potential, and God will never get out of you what he wants to get out of you. I'm working on this thing, y'all, about it. I'm going to be teaching on it, I don't know, in the coming weeks or months, this whole concept of a called life. All of our lives are called. See, and then the reason why you got so many preachers who just keep on doing what they're doing, they know they're good preachers, and they think that what they do in the bed with some other woman or some man or whatever case may, they think it don't matter because they think they just called to preach. They don't realize that our life is called. So they'll say, sir, I know I'm still a good communicator. I know God's anointing me to preach. Yeah, but your life is so jacked up, nobody want to hear you. Or your life is jacked up, you go to read certain scriptures, say, oh, let me not read that one because that's going to bring too much attention to me. So now God can't use you to preach the whole counsel of God. You got to skip over stuff. Because you don't realize I'm not called to preach. My whole life is called. And my life has to support me being able to preach. So Paul says this. He said, now I got to be careful how I live. I got to discipline myself. Lest after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway or disqualified from ever preaching anymore. Are y'all listening to me? And all of us, especially, I was talking to my campus pastors about this in our meeting on Friday. All of us are called, some of us are called to full-time ministry, called to the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry. But all of us are called to represent Christ in the earth. All of us, whether in politics, whether in business, whether in government, whether you're a first responder, whether you're a comedian, whatever your occupation as a Christian, you are called to represent him. One of our members of our church is working very closely with the Biden campaign. And they're traveling with them. And the Lord had me to give them a word the other day. I texted them. I said, I want you to understand something. I said, I know this is exciting for you. I said, I know that this is a great opportunity for you and I'm happy for you. I said, but you got to understand this is bigger than you. You didn't catch what I said. I said, you got to say, this is bigger than you. I said, every opportunity that you have to represent Jesus, make sure you're representing Jesus and sharing the love of God. Some of us know Robin Roberts from Good Morning America. Well, Robin Roberts, wardrobe designer, who's a male wardrobe designer with all the stereotypes that we might think of a male wardrobe designer. Y'all with me here? Okay. Every morning he leads Robin Roberts and her team in devotion of scripture and prayer. Tasha Cobbs was invited to sing on Good Morning America because of Robin Roberts' wardrobe designer. Who knows whether you're called to the kingdom for such a time as this? And sometimes you can be so busy enjoying what you're doing that you don't know, you're not sensitive. Why does God have me here? Why am I in this room? This really ain't about me. I mean, surely, yeah, it's real nice for me to be here rubbing elbows. But I am supposed to be representing Christ on the earth. That don't mean you're going to lay hands on everybody and start going around speaking in tongues, slapping everybody with oil. You won't lose your job if you start doing that. But are you in this situation to be praying for them? Praying that they speak wisdom? Praying that God surrounds them with the right people? Or if you ever have the opportunity for somebody to say to you, well, what do you think about this? That you start giving them a biblical perspective? Are y'all listening to me? All of us are called to represent Christ on the earth. And so you got to realize our life is called. Now, I always had a real early sense of that. You'll hear me joke about it with Mother Bailey. She told me when I was a teenager, before I really understood what being called was, she said, you are called. So I couldn't wear Jordache jeans because you are called. Can't be going out bowling with all the rest of the teenagers in the city because you are called. Okay? Couldn't wear shorts in the winter. Didn't want to wear no shorts in winter. Shorts in the summer. Because you are called. And she made me so conscious of this call. There were some elements of bondage in that and elements of legalism in that. But I just always had this consciousness that wherever I am, I'm called. My life is called. So whatever job I took, I in my mind, I had to say, how does this line up with my call? So I refused to have a job. This is me. From young age, even when we were in desperate financial need, I refused to take a job that kept me from going to church because I'm called. And since I'm called, God knows what I'm obligated to do. And so he got to work that out if I would just put him first and seek him first. Are y'all with me? I always had a concept. How does this connect with my calling? Can't do anything, can't go anywhere, can't be around anybody that does not line up with my calling. All of us, according to Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. Not Jesus. Jesus is the light. No, that just stop saying that. You are the light of the world. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But now that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, you are the light of the world. You are sitting set upon a hill that cannot be hid. And men don't light a candle and put it under a bush. They let it rise and shine. So it can illuminate the place where they are. You are the salt of the earth. We preserve in this earth. Can I tell you, as bad as everything is, as bad as this pandemic is, it would be worse if there wasn't like, if there weren't people like Pastor Marshall who get up here every Sunday and every Wednesday and say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. We take authority over this virus. I don't care how bad it is, we are still preserving the saints of God. And so we can't lose consciousness that our life is called. We are called to represent him in the earth. Everybody's not going to preach. Everybody who preaches shouldn't be preaching. I don't even mean because of the lifestyle, because they can't talk. If you're going to preach, you first need to be able to talk. People need to be able to understand what you're saying. I shouldn't have to sit there the whole message and try to get interpretation. Everybody's not called to preach. We surely know everybody ain't supposed to sing. Now, just because you sing in the choir don't mean you sing on the praise team. And just because you sing in the choir don't mean you get a mic. Eco Bo. For y'all don't know, for those of you who don't know what Eco Bo is, that's Mr. Bailey's tongue. The first tongue I ever heard. Eco Bo. Eco Bo. Hatatarama gogo bo shanda. That's Bishop Bailey's tongue right there. I heard that before I even knew anything about it. He kobo. Hata tata ma gogo bo shanda. Yes, sir. See, you can learn tongues too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go. I done peeped some of y'all. See, just because you, some of y'all ain't your tongue. You repeating somebody else's tongue. Just like I just repeated Bishop Bailey's tongue. He kobo. Hata tata ma gogo bo shanda. I done heard that since I was 5 years old. Look somebody say, get your own tongue, get your own tongue. I had to watch myself. I used to be around Pastor Dollar. Pastor Dollar would go off speaking in tongues. Broko Rama Cristo, Cristo. And I find myself talking, saying, Kata ta Cristo. I'm like, that ain't my tongue. Cristo ain't my tongue. That's Dr. Dollar's tongue. All right, let me get back here. We're all called. We're all called to live this life of faith. Where whatever you're doing, you can't do it to its fullest without living by faith. Whatever you're doing, you won't be as successful in it as God wants you to be without doing by faith. I don't care how great your talent is, how much your education is. I don't care who you know. I don't care how much you can politics to get around people of power. Whatever you're doing, you are not maximizing everything that God wants you to do in the way he wants you to do without living by faith. If you don't learn to live by faith, you're going to end up in shipwreck. Never reaching the fullness of your potential. So God wants to be persistent and steadfast in our faith. Be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know, your labor is not in vain. That's 1 Corinthians 15:58. So he wants us to draw near and draw close, but not draw back. Say that with him. Say, I will draw near. I'll draw close, but I'm not going to draw back. That's Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. Let us draw near with our true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure blood, pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast. The reason we got to hold fast, because there's circumstances and people and issues and news that's trying to take your faith. So hold fast to the profession of your faith. Keep holding on to what you claim, to what you believe, to what you've been saying, without wavering up and down. And James tells us if you waver, we're like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro. We're in doubt, then we're in faith. He said, let not that man who does not get solidified in his faith think that he'll receive anything that God promised. So we started talking last week about why people draw back. Let me go further into this. We said people draw back from faith because of disillusionment and disappointment. Disappointment is this feeling of sadness from non-fulfilled hopes, dreams, and expectations. I'm sad because something didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. I'm sad because I didn't hit the lottery. Even though you won out of 500 zillion who got a chance to hit, you upset you didn't hit it. Disappointment. But that's one thing, but it's nothing to become disappointed with God. And also disillusioned with God. Disillusionment is this feeling of disappointment resulting from the discovery that something is not as good as you first believed.
God wants us to be persistent and steadfast in our faith. He wants us to draw near and draw close, but don't draw back. In this powerful series, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages us to remain strong in our faith despite any circumstance. To order this series, just call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for I Will Not Retreat. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.